Hey, Paige.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Why?
So we are in the season of Lent. If you don't know, it is a time of year leading up to Easter where Christians that hate themselves give something up for no real reason other than the challenge of it, I guess. So this year for Lent, I gave up swearing and I am a shell of a man. It's been going really well.
That's good.
But I feel like there's part of me that's worried that it's never coming back. Cause I've been like so hyper vigilant. Like I'm at the point now, we're several weeks into Lent. You heard recordings coming out every week because Paige here was out of town for a while. We pre-recorded a bunch of stuff. So this is the first time we've had to record during Lent. And like I'm at the point where if somebody else like swears around me, I have this immediate panic response before I'm like, no, they're not you. You're good. Swearing isn't bad. You're just doing this because you chose to. It's not fun up in my head. And then, so if I do let a swear slip out, which has only happened in traffic so far, but if I do, I immediately like my penance is to give a deep, heartfelt compliment to whoever heard me. And y'all, I don't want to have to compliment Paige tonight. So it's not, don't take it personally. I don't like complimenting people. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what
No,
it's
I
about.
get that though.
So
I
I'm
don't
gonna
like receiving compliments. So
so
a sincere, heartfelt compliment, like in the middle of us recording, would probably give me
see, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm
hives.
gonna do my absolute best to keep my promise to a God who doesn't care what I say, I don't think. So, that's what we're doing. We're
I mean,
also
he probably
doing,
does care sometimes what you
I
think,
mean,
like if you're saying not kind things.
yes, I meant specific vocabulary
Oh,
choices.
okay.
I'm sure that like racial slurs, I believe in a God that cares about that.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
But I didn't have to give those up for Lent. I already don't
Use
say
those.
those. Anyway, we're doing a book episode.
Yay! Take
Take it away, my friend.
it away. Alrighty. So this week we are doing the book Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng. I know how to say her last name. It's just NG, but it's fantastic because her Instagram handle is it's pronounced Ing. And so I was like, great, awesome. Now I know how to pronounce it because I always, if I'm going to be speaking about a person, I look up their name so I know how to say it because it's not that hard.
It's super
And
not that hard.
everybody deserves the respect of having their name said right,
Yep.
especially when I have time to prepare ahead of time.
Unless it's a biblical name in a dead language, which is a very specific to
Oh,
me problem.
I guess that's true. But I'm
But
not having those issues right now,
no,
so.
there are plenty of Ings alive and well in the world today that you could ask.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Anyway, so we're gonna get into this. This book takes place in the 90s in Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Shake, shake, shake.
That is,
Shake, shake, shake.
it
Shake,
is.
Ohio.
Oh my God, stop. Shaker Heights is a suburb of Cleveland on the east
Oh,
side.
is it real? Is
Yes,
it,
this
it's
is a
not
real
like a
place. Actually,
fictionalized.
my mom grew up outside of Cleveland, and so my mom has dementia, right? And when I was visiting her a couple weeks ago, I was reading this book, and I asked her, I said, I'm reading this book and it takes place in Shaker Heights. Do you know where that is? Not even a second. She said, oh yeah, that's on the east side of Cleveland. It's a really expensive place to live.
Whoa.
Like, just moment of total clarity, knew exactly where this place was. So that was super fun.
I want a t-shirt that says, I went to Shaker Heights and all I got was dementia.
Be fair, my mom did not live in Shaker Heights. She lived in another suburb. She just knows where Shaker Heights is. Anyway, it's a super bougie place to live. It is like one of America's first like planned communities. The entire thing was planned out. Like all of the schools were built and then neighborhoods around them. So I think like no kid would have to like cross a street in order to, like, everything is planned. And it's like living it from what I've read, it seems like almost like if, you know, you live in a subdivision that has an HOA, but it's the whole entire city. If you want to change the color of your siding, you got to get permission. Everything has to be cut. Like your lawn has to be manicured. The crazy stuff. Yeah. Like this is like, this is a HOA board on steroids for the whole town. So the people there would probably call themselves, at least, I don't know about now, but at the time, would consider themselves progressive. But, like, in a, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm going to vote blue always type of way. Not in, like, an actual progressive
like, really thought about it.
Yeah, kind of that's just, like, I've been a Democrat my whole life, and so I'll just keep voting Democrat, and that makes it okay.
And what's the time period here, again?
In the 90s.
90s, okay.
Yeah. They do mention at one point, it hasn't happened when the book starts, but while the book is going is when Mr. William Clinton.
Oh, slippery old.
Yeah, and they William. Do kind of like mention that a little bit. So,
well, I was thinking of that time period. So it's like Democrats that had no problem with like mass incarceration.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Gotti.
Yeah, but like in like a... No, I'm not racist. I have a black neighbor type of way.
But do they?
Actually, Shaker Heights, I did kind of look this up, that they were actually one of the first schools in the Cleveland area to integrate.
Cool.
So, like, I think that there was definitely some of that, but I don't think it was, I think it was probably a lot of white people wanting to feel better about themselves and not wanting to feel guilty. So, like, it was, but, like, only to a certain point.
Yeah.
And we'll see as I get into this.
Okay, so it's part of the plot.
Yeah, a bit, yes. So this book starts with that one of the characters, Elena Richardson, is standing on her front lawn and her house is on fire. And they think that her daughter, one of her daughters, Izzy, is the suspect, that she started it before she ran away because they can't find her. So that's kind of like the very intro. And then after that intro, we flashback to like a year-ish before that happens. We start to learn more about these, all of the characters. It's kind of like the first half of the book is kind of all over the place and you're not really sure where the heck it's going, but you realize later on that like you needed all of that character development in order to truly understand what was happening. So we learn about all the characters. First we have Mia and Pearl Warren. They have started renting a duplex from the Richardson family.
Okay.
The Richardson family is the most stereotypical white middle class family. So,
got it.
Mr. Richardson is a lawyer. Mrs. Richardson is a reporter at the local newspaper.
Hot.
Should they have, is it four kids?
2.5 four, kids.
No, they have four kids. They have two boys and two girls.
Oh, gosh.
Of course.
Yep.
So very, just very typical. And then Mia and Pearl are a mother and daughter. They travel around a lot. Mia is an artist, but they've finally decided to like put down roots. They're gonna, you know, they want to stay here. They want to try to like, Mia wants to try to give Pearl some time to like have friends and like have a little bit of stability and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if you can afford a landscaper, it sounds like a nice place to live if you don't have to worry about keeping it up to HOA code.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, they're just renting it, so they don't really have to do...
That's right, totally.
The whatever. It was insane, though, because the rent is literally $300 a month, and I immediately wanted to throw the book, because...
But it's the 90s.
Like, I know, but not... I was like, are you kidding me? $300? Anyway, so it's... I want to note, it is very important to note that Mia is like a fairly successful artist. She's not just like scraping, like they are kind of scraping by, but like she sells her paintings like a couple thousand dollars, or not paintings, they're photographs, I'm sorry. They go for like a couple thousand dollars. She sells them. She has a dealer in, or I don't know if it's a dealer or whatever, but someone who sells her art in New York.
Okay.
So like she's not to say that people who don't do that are not real artists. Anybody who makes art is an artist, but like
she's a career
artist. She makes a decent amount of money. So that's what happens. They go from town to town. They go, she does her photographs, gets a set, sends them off, and then they pack up and move to another town and where she can get inspiration. And she usually, like, so she gets this money, and then on the side, she has, like, a part-time job working at a Chinese restaurant, essentially.
Cute.
They've lived just about everywhere, except for, like, the Upper East Coast. She refuses to go to New York. She does not want to be there, and, like, it's kind of, like, a mysterious, like, that's going on there.
Yeah, because that's where her stuff like sells. That's interesting.
Yes, but she will not go to New York.
Is that foreshadowing?
Yes, 100%. So Pearl then befriends the Richardson's younger son. His name is Moody. And then kind of eventually, like, the older son and then the older daughter, they all kind of become friends.
Is he named after the Moody Bible Institute, or is that
I
like
think
a
it's
nickname?
A nickname, okay, but I don't remember what his real name is.
That made my throat close up a little bit.
No, I believe it's a nickname. Mia's a bit apprehensive about this Pearl hanging out with these people. So eventually, Elena, the mom of the Richardsons, like, offers Mia a job cleaning her house and stuff like that. And Mia doesn't, like, she's kind of like, I don't really want to do that. But she decides, like, okay, but, like, then I can kind of keep an eye on Pearl. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, so she takes this job while she's doing, like, she does the cleaning and the cooking and stuff. So she's there during the day when everyone else is at school and work. But eventually, she meets the youngest Richardson, whose name is Izzy. And Izzy is, she's kind of the black sheep of the family. She doesn't, she's the youngest. She was born really early. Her mom is like super scared of like losing her. But because of that, she's like trying to push her into this, like, you need to be, and Izzy's not having it. She is a rebel. She's at home early because she got suspended for, breaking her orchestra teacher's like baton in half or something. She breaks her bow in half or something. It's like during like orchestra, because the teacher was picking on a black student, and so this she stands up for this student. So she gets suspended, and that's how we meet Izzy. After this, the Richardsons go to a birthday party for a one-year-old Chinese girl who was adopted by one of Elena's lifelong friends. Her name is Linda. We learn that the baby was dropped off at a fire station with a note saying that her name was Mei Ling. But the, McCulloughs? McCulloughs or something?
We just had a conversation.
I know.
You literally started this
episode. Yeah, but they're white,
with...
so it's okay. They're not real people. They can't be offended. Okay, I guess I shouldn't say that. But they're not real people, so they can't be offended.
I'm going to leave it.
Anyway, I meant to look it up. I was writing it earlier today, and I said, oh, I got to look that up.
I would imagine McCulloughs. People I know that have a name spelled like that.
Yeah.
McCulloughs.
Anyway, they changed her name to Mirabelle because May wasn't a name.
Not enough syllables?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever. So, later on, the kids are, like, talking about Mei Ling, Mirabelle, whatever. About her and like how cute she is and whatever, and Mia kind of overhears this. They're back at their house at this point, and like they're talking about like what happened and how sad it is that the mom left her at the fire station, blah 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 blah. So Mia recognizes this story that she's hearing from the other side because she has a coworker named Bibi
Netanyahu.
No, B-E-B-E.
Good.
Also,
I'm so sorry.
Chinese and not.
But B-B.
Yeah, I know, but like.
I was joking.
Oh, okay.
I was making timely humor happen.
Timely?
Insert swears. Here.
Anyway. Okay, so we learn that Baby had May and her boyfriend left. Baby had moved to the United States to be with this boyfriend, had this baby, and boyfriend bounced. Since she recently immigrated, she knew, like, no English, could not get a job, and she couldn't breastfeed, couldn't afford formula, and so, like, she's just, like, having this, like, desperate moment. She, like, wants to make sure her daughter is alive, and she doesn't know what to do. She's having what we know now is, like, probably some postpartum depression, maybe even some postpartum, like, psychosis.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Just having a mental health crisis and also is unable to take care of her baby. And so she does the only thing she thinks she can do, and she drops this baby off at the fire department.
Yeah.
But now she's gotten a job at this Chinese restaurant. She's not, you know, rolling in the dough, but she's stable. She has a place to live. She's making money. All these things.
She can take care of a kid.
She
now.
Could take care of a kid. She's stable. And so she's been looking for her daughter. Like, she wants to know where her daughter is. She's trying to find her daughter. And so Mia hears this and tells BB, I know where your daughter is.
Okay.
BB decides she is going to try to fight for custody after they find a lawyer who agrees to take on her case pro bono. So, they, like, essentially, like, it, like, breaks in the newspaper and all of this stuff. And, like, so then all of these families are just kind of, like, thrown into this situation. The court does award, like, visitation rights to BB while the case is going on, while it's ongoing. And the McCulloughs hate this.
Yeah.
they're like, oh my gosh, she, like, doesn't know how, like, she doesn't plan things. She just kind of shows up. She doesn't give us enough time. And it's like, she's working an hourly wage job. Like, you guys need to, like, chill. Like,
but I feel like, both, I mean, this is such an impossible situation. And I get, like, I know people who have adopted children. I know people who have had to give up their children for adoption. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. And everyone's feelings are so big and so valid. And it just sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
It really does. And, like, you can kind of get that sense that it's, like, they go into, like, why Linda is, like, she's not able to have babies. She's had miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. And it really is a heartbreaking thing to, like, and she just wants this baby and they, like, want to adopt. And then they get this call in the middle of the night that a baby was left at the fire station and this baby is theirs if they want it to take care of. And, like, I'm not saying that these people did not love this little girl.
Of course not.
Obviously. Yeah. Like, but also, like, I don't know. It's like, impossible to, like, pick a side at that point.
Yeah.
I do eventually pick a side because I'm sick of all of these people.
Well, the story wants us to, I'm guessing.
Anyway, so Elena finds out that BB found out about this because of Mia. And so Elena is mad, and she is going to she's going to get revenge. So she is, like, gonna look into Mia and, like, what the heck is up with her. She eventually finds out who her parents are and drives to Pittsburgh. I believe it's Pittsburgh.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. drives to Pittsburgh under the guise of, I want to, like, interview you because of what happened to your son who passed away. So Mia's brother passed away in high school.
Did she do it? Sorry.
No. It's like an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what's insane, though, is so Mia and her parents have not talked since her brother died. Like, they had a huge falling out, like, but for some reason, because Elena asks these parents what's going on, they decide to tell this stranger all of me is dirty laundry. What the heck?
That's wrong.
Anyway, so we find out that essentially Mia lost her scholarship to art school, and so she agreed to carry a child for a couple who was, the wife was infertile, but they do it through IUF. So, like, they use Mia's eggs. Like, this child is going to biologically be
and she Mia's carried child. Two, so it wasn't just surrogacy, it was like...
Correct.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, okay.
So it was like this weird thing where they, like, the husband saw her on the bus and thought she looked just like his wife. And so, like, so he chases her down. Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Can you imagine someone being like, you look like the woman that I enjoy putting my semen in. Can we slip some into you as well so we can make a baby?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the price is right, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would do it. I did not like being pregnant. I would do it for a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said, if
yeah.
the price
so
is right.
So she's like desperate. She lost her scholarship. She doesn't want to leave art school. She wants to keep going. She's doing great. She's like doing great with her teachers. She wants to keep doing this. And so, you know, like, she's like, okay, if I just have to carry this baby for 9 months and then I get to go back to art school, great. But after... While she's pregnant, she finds out that her brother has passed away. Mm. And she goes home, and her parents, I feel like it's like a mixture of they don't approve and they like don't really believe her.
Oh, so they think it's just a whoopsie and she's yeah. making up a long story.
Yeah. But... and they Whatever. Essentially, they essentially tell her she's not allowed to come to her brother's funeral. They do not let her come.
Because she's pregnant?
Mm-hmm. And they don't want people to like ask questions. And so she, heartbroken, drives back to New York, packs up all her stuff, tells this husband and wife that she miscarried the baby, and runs away to California.
Can I trauma dump for a hot second?
Sure.
So when I was in high school, my version of the talk that I got from my parents was basically like, if you ever get pregnant, don't even bother coming home because we're disowning you.
Oh, fun. Great. Awesome.
So.
Fantastic.
So, mildly triggered.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Sorry.
Whatever.
There's...
I get dick six ways to Sunday. I'm good. I'm over it. But.
Oh, my God.
That is, like, a thing that I could easily see my parents in the same situation. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, she... you know, decides she's going to go and raise her daughter on her own. While this is all happening, Elena is in Pittsburgh, back in Shaker Heights. Lexi, who has recently become sexually active with her boyfriend, learns that she is now pregnant.
Cool.
And she's kind of like, oh, maybe this will be okay. Like, we're, like, me and Brian, I think was his name. Me and Brian are so in love. We're going to raise this baby. I know it's going to be hard, but like our parents love us and it'll be okay. Da 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 da. And so she like just kind of like hypothetically was like, what would happen if, and the boyfriend who is a teenager obviously is like, no, I don't know if I would be ready for that. That's kind of scary. And so.
Wait, so she was talking about like, we'd be fine if we got pregnant before they got pregnant.
No, after they got pregnant, but she hadn't told him yet. She was like, oh,
was
you know, like,
I gotcha.
Wouldn't that be so, like, that would be so fun. Like, she was like, aren't babies so cute? You know, she's a teenager. She doesn't understand.
No, but like,
she
also, nobody really does. Until
yeah,
you're
like, no, you don't know until you've already had a child. Anyway, so that, they break up. And so Lexi decides she's going to get an abortion. She asks Pearl to drive her. And, like, kind of be there with her. But when she gets there, she, instead of putting down her own information, puts down Pearl's information because...
Oh, my God.
Because her mom is really good friends with one of the doctors there. And she doesn't want...
Doesn't trust them to
To not say something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, super cool. Awesome. Great. She has the abortion. She ends up actually staying at... Mia and Pearl's house, because number one, Elena's not even home right now. She's in Pittsburgh. And she's also like, you know, I just had this abortion. I don't feel good. I don't look good. I don't want my parents to ask me some questions. And like, it's so, Mia is just like, she sees her. She knows what happens. She doesn't ask any questions. And she just takes care of her. It's like this, like, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, also just like a small detail. Pearl has started having sex with Trip, the older brother of the Richardsons, and that causes some issues with Pearl and Moody, because Moody really likes Pearl and Pearl only likes him as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's like a whole thing. He finds out, and
this is
freaking messy. Oh my gosh. Anyway, when Elena gets back, the like custody battle is still kind of ongoing. They're trying to decide, like, they're trying to figure out like how to, essentially they're trying to prove that Bibi is an unfit mother. Essentially, rather than trying to show like, no, we're, I mean, I guess they are kind of like trying to show that like, oh, we are the better parents because we have money and can give her everything she wants, essentially is their story.
Yeah.
But they're like, we're not sure if that's enough. So now they're like, okay, we have to prove that Bibi is not fit to take care of this child, like truly. So Elena decides she's going to go to, you guessed it, the abortion clinic. And try to get into the files via her doctor friend and see if Bibi has had an abortion.
No.
But instead.
But what is that? Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just going to take deep breaths.
Because I told you, even though they say they're progressive.
Right.
It's okay to have an abortion, but like, not really.
It makes you a bad person.
But you're still a bad person and you'll never, you should never have a child after that. Because if you didn't want that one, when, why would you want another one? Eventually, later on in life. When you're more stable.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, super great. And they also wouldn't even be able to use that in court.
No, because she had to break it. It violates HIPAA. And
yeah. It's like this whole thing. She goes in and like the doctor at first is kind of like, okay. But then she's like, no, you know what? No, this is wrong. I'm not going to do it. But she kind of like pulls this weird like reverse psychology shit on this lady. And so the lady like gets up and leaves the room, and oops, she accidentally left her screen open.
That is so, every time that happens in a story, I'm like, this is no different than you just telling them. Like, mm-hmm. whatever you think, like, whatever layer of guilt you're protecting yourself from, mm-hmm. it's so stupid.
Yeah, no, it's your fault, Dr. Lady. I don't even remember her name. They gave her a name, but I don't care. I don't care what your name is. You're a terrible person. Anyway, so she's scrolling, and who does she see? She sees Pearl's name, even though it wasn't Pearl who got an abortion. It was her daughter, which I don't care if her daughter got an abortion, but she cares that if her daughter got an abortion. So it's like this whole thing. She goes home, and she accuses Moody of being the one who got her pregnant.
That sucks. So, like, he's not even getting what he wants, but he's still getting,
And, like, he kind of, he's like, you got the wrong son. Maybe go talk to the other. Like, he's like, no.
I wish, but no.
Yeah.
That sucks. But it's also not the right girl either.
Yes. Like, none of this is correct.
And also, it's super not your business what somebody else's kid, like, what medical proceed, like, this is so many layers of not your business.
Yes, but Elena has made it her business, and I cannot stand her.
That's what white ladies with HOAs do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because they're bored.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bruh.
So, eventually the custody case is concluded, and Bibi does not win. She is not given custody. It is absolutely heartbreaking. She is heartbroken. I had to like put the book down for a bit because I was like, I don't know, like I felt like it was so hard because like I don't want these other people to like not have this baby that they have grown to love for a year, but also like I don't know, like, this woman, it's not that her, she never she stopped loving this child or didn't love this child.
She did,
like,
what the best
truly
thing was.
She did what a loving mother would do, and that was make sure that her child was okay. And yeah. like it, yeah. it's like, it really, like, this is an emotional book, and it, like, just makes you think a lot. So after it all ends, Elena goes over to the duplex and, like, confronts Mia about Pearl having an abortion and all of this stuff, and then kicks Mia and Pearl out.
Oh,
because
my.
The devil. Yeah. So.
And Mia knows what happened. Like.
Yes.
Mia could come correct
Mia,
in
she
here.
Does,
and
she doesn't.
God, she's so much better than this see you next Tuesday that's been.
Yeah. No, ugh. it's kind of rough. So. Mia's like, okay, we will leave. She starts packing up. Pearl comes home, and Pearl doesn't want to leave. She's like, no, I have friends here. Like, I finally feel like I have a home. And so that is when Mia sits Pearl down and tells her about her father and, you know, kind of her backstory and everything. And it kind of helps Pearl to see, like, oh, okay, my mom's not just doing this because she, like, doesn't like me. Like, this is just, like, anyway, so it kind of gives her a bit of perspective, and she's like, okay, you know, well, we're gonna go. So Izzy kind of finds this stuff out. She kind of, like, is like, she's kind of, like, hanging out in the background and just, like, hearing and soaking in all this mm-hmm. information, and is kind of like, oh, my parents and my siblings have been using this woman and her daughter for their own personal gain, mm-hmm. and it's terrible, and I can't stand my family anymore. So she waits until she thinks that with her family's schedule, that there's nobody home. And so she goes and puts gasoline on her siblings' beds and lights the house on fire. But her mom was still in the house because she decided to sleep in. No, remember from the...
Yeah,
she's
I know.
Fine. She's fine. Anyway.
She's just a little singed. She's fine.
She's fine. So she sets the house on fire and she bounces.
I had a neighbor growing up that did that. That set...
Purposefully set their house
on
fire?
Yeah, that set his family's house on fire. He went away to a mental health facility for a long time after that. But it happens.
Yeah.
Teenagers with matches.
Yeah, she was just...
It sounds like they deserved it, though. I don't think this family did. I think he was just a very troubled young man.
Yeah. But no, the Richardsons kind of deserved it a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. And they have good insurance. They'll be fine. They have money. They'll be fine.
Sure. You know, priceless memories that are...
True.
Sentimental value. None of the, you know. No,
I guess that.
I'm just being a pain at this point. I get it.
But listen,
you're not wrong.
In this fictional universe, I believe they don't have any sentimental memories because I don't know if this mother
people are
is
either bad
fully,
or good.
I don't know if this
no
woman is
areas.
Actually fully capable of being sentimental. So they end up moving over to this rental house that is now empty. And there they find a package with a set of photographs for each of the family members. Essentially, it is, like, stuff that, like, Mia has been quietly... She does... It's, like, this weird, like... She kind of, like, makes almost, like, sculptures and scenes and things like that and then photographs them.
Oh, okay.
So it's, like, kind of, like, mixed media,
I
guess.
I've seen the book cover for this book. Is that... It kind of looks like...
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah,
I feel like it's supposed to capture that.
Yeah, so
effect.
it's a bit interesting. So there's one for each of the family members, and it's, like, symbolic. And I don't have time to go into all of them, and I didn't write them down. So anyway,
who cares?
Like, they each know who each of them is for.
Sure.
Type of thing. So then after. That Actually, I can't remember in which order this goes in. I didn't look in the book this afternoon because I was writing this in a hurry. Anyway, we learn that BB was like kind of inspired by something that Mia said when she was comforting her. And so she waits till the middle of the night when the McCulloughs have gone to sleep and they're exhausted after this, you know, court case and all of this stuff, sneaks into their house, takes Mei Ling, and goes back to China.
Oh.
So.
That's not great either.
Yes. The McCulloughs are basically told, like, you might as well not even, because they're not.
Oh, they'll never.
You'll never find her, essentially.
Oh, God. That's,
Yeah. So, it's kind of rough.
Geez. Why is it so easy to make human life?
Yeah.
It should be harder to, like, you shouldn't be able to just whoopsie your way into the existence of another person.
I agree.
This is God's fault. This isn't, not the plot of the story. I just mean in general. Yeah. There should be like an application to fill out at the very least.
Yeah, but that's probably some kind of like human rights violation type of thing.
You should have to fill out an application with God, because like I would not trust another human to decide. But I just feel like it should be more difficult. But then for some people, it's like impossible. It's just also
Very messed up. They kind of spend a long time looking for her and a lot of money looking for her anyway. Because
they can't.
Of course
up.
They
you
do.
Could, I couldn't. Yeah.
Of course they up. Do. Yep. The weird thing is then though is they specifically decide to adopt another child from China.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they invested in all of the books.
Yeah. Well, there's actually like this whole thing during the trial where the lawyer who is defending or who is like helping Bibi like asked all these questions, like, have you tried to learn the language? Have you looked into any of the culture? And she's kind of like, well, we were gonna eventually, maybe we were going to. I mean, she's so little right now. And they're like, have you even tried? And they're like, not yet, but we will. We promise.
They weren't gonna. They changed her name.
They changed her name when Mei is a perfectly,
I know plenty
like
of people
like,
of various races that have the name
right.
Mei. It's very,
it's not
simple
like
and short.
And I mean, even if it wasn't, like, that's her name. Like, what do you mean you're gonna just change her name? Just learn how to say her name. You don't know how to say it.
They know how to say Mei.
But they know how
it's
to say
month.
It. That's the thing, is like they can't even use the half-assed excuse of like, but it's just like a really long name and we didn't want her to get made fun of and da 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 da. Like,
mean, it was
there's
probably
not even
just like if they had their own kid, they were gonna name the kid Mirabelle.
I guess so. But still.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, when I like adopted my cats, so they kept all
cats
their names.
Cats and children are not the same.
No, but they kept okay. all their names, except one of them was named Hyde, Hyde, after the guy from That 70s Show. So that wasn't happening. Oh, you know what? No, I did change two of the names. I changed the other one's name because their name was Molly, and I had a dog named Molly growing up, and I just couldn't have a dog and a cat named Molly.
Oh, my God.
So maybe what I'm saying, I thought I was saying something different. What I'm actually saying is, what's in a name? A rose by any other name smells as sweet.
Because her mom gave her that name when she was born.
They didn't know, but mom also put her in a box at a fire station. Like, I'm not trying to denigrate that decision, but also from this other couple's perspective, did she have a name tag?
Yes,
how do they know?
The box, there was a note that said, my name is Mei Ling.
Okay. Oh, okay. I don't think I could change it in that situation either.
Yep. Anyway. We find out then that Izzy Izzy runs away, and she's planning to go to Pittsburgh because she found this file that her mom was keeping on Mia. And so she found out who Mia's parents are and was going to go to Pittsburgh. I don't know.
Because it's dope.
I mean, Pittsburgh is pretty cool, but I don't know why specifically she was like, oh, Mia's parents are there. I guess I should go there. I think they explain it, but I can't remember it and I didn't look it up because I'm too lazy. But then Mia and Pearl find her walking. And so they're like, hey, come with us. Which, I mean, is probably technically kidnapping, but, you know, like Mia is technically kidnapping Izzy because
she's a minor.
Because she's a minor. And then taking her across state lines. So it's probably not good.
Not good.
Not good. But also, like, Izzy wasn't going to go home. So it was either take her and care for her because she's a child or let her wander the...
Or put her in the hands of the state, which is not good either.
Because Izzy basically says, like, if somebody finds me and takes me back, I'm just going to leave again. I'm not staying with these people. And so the book kind of ends with Elena reflecting and realizing that this fear that she had of losing Izzy, like, ultimately came true. And, like, it's kind of a little bit her fault.
That is such a, like, the more you squeeze a kid and try to get them to, like, stay and be what you want, the more they're just gonna push back against that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. So, I want to talk about my favorite moment. And I had it in the summary, but I took it out because I was like, I want to talk about it as my favorite moment.
Do it.
So when Izzy tells Mia what happened at school that got her suspended, Mia kind of like just says, like, well, what are you going to do about it? And so what Izzy decides to do about it is enlist her brother and sister to go to the school because they're like, oh, well, we can't just get back at the one teacher because then they'll know who did it. But if we do something to the whole
system is guilty.
So what they do is they take toothpicks and shove them into all the locks of the doors at the school and break them off so that none of the doors can open.
That's diabolical.
It is. It really is. And they kind of go into this whole thing where the orchestra teacher, her name is Mrs. Peters. She has to go to the bathroom. And she wants to go to the bathroom in the teacher bathroom, but she can't get to the teacher bathroom because it's behind a locked door. Uh-huh. And so she's like holding it.
Just
and she's
pee like, among the people.
She's go trying to hold it and wait until they get. And she's like, why aren't you doing this one? And they're like, lady, literally all of the doors are not opening and your bathroom door is the least of our worries.
Yeah, there are other bathrooms that are not locked like this, I would imagine.
So eventually, I'm assuming that she was on the verge of her bladder exploding, and she finally decides she's going to go to the common bathroom. And of course, there's a million students in there, because what are they doing right now? They can't go to class, so they're just congregating places. So she walks in, doesn't make it to the toilet, begins to pee on herself.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
And it, like, trickles out of the stall. And, like, you can, like, oh, you can hear the girls.
And it is such her own fault because she could have just gone to pee at any time.
She could have just gone. So I don't even feel bad for her because, like, you could have just gone as soon as you had to pee, but you didn't want to.
This is all.
And also, you're a racist, so.
Racists pee themselves. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah,
sorry. Anyway, that was my favorite moment because, like, really nobody got hurt. And so it's a fairly harmless prank. Like, everybody lost out on a day of school. But, like, no, they're not hurting anybody, you know? Like, it's fine. And it's hilarious. And, like, the lady got what she deserved. So it was, like, yes, vindication. So that's the kind of person Izzy is. And I enjoyed her as, like, just kind of this teenager, this, like, rebellious black sheep teenager
that rebelled character. In ways we were both terrified to do, but wished we could have.
Yeah, like, I'm so jealous of Izzy. She was way cooler than I could ever hope to be, even now as an adult. So, I mean, I guess there were parts where I had a meltdown, but, like, I specifically want to just talk about and vent about Elena. Because everything she did made me so mad. Constantly was just like telling herself like, oh, I'm doing the right thing and like I'm such a kind person and da 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 da. But really, like, everything she did was for her own gain.
Yeah.
She had to look the part. She had to make it look like her family was perfect and like they weren't doing anything wrong because like she's the perfect suburban wife and mom and she has these 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls, and has this perfect life and blah 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 blah. And like, I don't know, I was just like, you think that doing all of these things makes you a good mom, but like actually you're the worst mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of this is actually about your kids.
Yeah, they don't
like
get
you
to
don't
be themselves.
Even actually yeah. know what's going on in any of your kids' lives yeah. because they would be too afraid to tell you,
mm-hmm.
first of all. And number two, because you're off investigating some lady and you drove to Pittsburgh to go interrogate her parents. Like, you're not even at home.
For like no reason.
Yes. Insane. Like, what are you doing?
You could just go to therapy.
Right.
You
all of these
therapy.
All of these people just need therapy. And like some of them probably can't afford it. But the Richardsons, they can afford therapy and they all needed to go. And instead, this happened.
Get a hobby. Plant a garden.
Yeah.
Maybe the HOA won't let you.
I think that's a thing. They're not allowed to plant vegetable gardens or something. I think that's a thing that was mentioned in the book.
Crochet.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, like, it was, like, so interesting because there's even this point where we get a little bit of an insight into Mr. Richardson's thoughts. And he has this, like, wow, I wish my wife was, like, who she was in college. And he has this memory of, like, meeting her because she's trying to get people to sign, like, anti-war petition.
Okay.
But then we learn later on from Elena's perspective that she was like only doing that because like it felt like she had to do something and like it would make her look good and she didn't want to actually do anything like serious, so she was like, oh, I'll just get like it was just to make herself look good and
right.
feel better.
Didn't care about
like so anyway.
Yep.
I'm just mad at her.
Cool.
And like so much of this was her fault.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I have a couple characters, though, that I really liked. Obviously, I really liked. What?
No, I was making the.
No, not
Barry
like
White
that.
Barry White sounds. Not. I know, obviously, not the children.
Anyway, I really loved Mia. Because she is almost like this, like, juxtaposition against Elena.
She's a good,
of like,
she's an actual good mom.
Like, she's a good mom. And not everything she does is perfect. She doesn't do everything right. But I feel like her motivation is truly for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of it, too, is, like, I think she's just afraid that somebody's going to find out about her past and tell these people and she's going to lose her daughter.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that there is a bit of fear there. And so it's, like, a bit more of, like, when she doesn't make the best decision, it's like, okay, but, like, you're just doing it because you love your daughter so much.
Yeah.
And you just want her to be with you. But, like, I don't know. And, like, when she, like, helped Lexi after abortion and, like, didn't ask any questions and just was like, you need help and I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Like,
do you need a hot water bottle? Do you need a snack?
Yeah.
Got it.
Like, so she's that mom. And also, she's an artist, and she makes cool art. And I'm just like, you're a cool person. I don't know. I also, like, even though what Bibi did at the end was super...
gray?
Super gray. Super out of pocket, and just, like, very morally gray. I just, like, had such a tender spot for her, because it's... made me so angry because the system is what failed her. Like, she did everything she could. She tried her best. She tried to find a job. She tried to breastfeed, but her daughter wouldn't latch it, so her milk dried up.
Yeah.
And she couldn't afford formula and all of these things. But there's this moment where she talks about, like, her daughter always loved water. And so when, like, even in the moments where her daughter was just screaming and crying from hunger and all of these things, she would make, like, a sink bath, like, in the kitchen sink, and put her daughter in there, and it would, like,
relax her daughter.
Aww. And all, and, like, and then to get to the end, and she's doing everything she can, and I'm sure when she put that box on the firehouse step, she felt like she failed.
Of course. Yeah.
But, like, it's not her that failed, and, like, it just makes me so angry that, like, these people that she trusted and that she loved all failed her. Her boyfriend left her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so she has no one, and yeah, she can't speak English, and so nobody will hire her. And she has, like, she has no way of even, like, understanding how to get any kind of assistance.
Services, right.
Like, she doesn't, she can't speak English.
Right. You can maybe get all that stuff in Spanish in this country. Like, yeah, maybe.
But
you're not getting it in Chinese.
Yeah.
No.
No. So I don't know, like, I just, like, I can't imagine fighting so that hard and then in the end being told you're not good enough to be a mother. Mm. Even though, like, she clearly does love her child so much.
Well, and of course it boiled down to money. Yes. Either in, like, that they could afford a better lawyer, like, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It especially in the 90s, you know, they had more money. They were always going to be.
Right.
They were always going to win that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no anything. Overall, though, I really liked this book. I liked the way it was written. It kind of was written in this almost, like, omniscient third person kind of view. Like, I almost felt like I was, like, sitting up looking over top of Shaker Heights, and this person was telling me a story and, like, knew everything about them,
like,
and
like
was like
pieces in, like, a diorama, like,
yeah
oh,
it was very 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 cool. I really enjoyed the writing in that sense. I also just really enjoyed this exploration of motherhood, and it kind of does, they pose this question of, like, what makes someone a mother? Is it love? Is it stability and, you know, ability to provide?
Yeah.
Is it genetics and, like, just all of this stuff? And it's very open-ended, and it's like, I think everyone in this story was a mother.
Mm-hmm.
It just, except for maybe Elena, she sucks.
I mean,
like, she's a mother, yeah, but, like, not a very good one. Anyway.
But, like, that's part of this all kind of sounds like to me, like, almost like a pastiche of reflections on what motherhood is. And, like,
yeah,
there is a plot, but it's secondary to,
mm-hmm,
let's, like, turn over all these stones, mm-hmm, and see what's under them and,
yeah,
like, really explore this theme. I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of looking into that, and, like, I felt like it was interesting, like, to have all of these women of, like, different races and socioeconomic statuses, and, like, living in different places. Because remember, we even have the woman in New York who wanted to be a mother so bad that she was willing to pay a complete stranger,
yeah,
to put her husband's semen in her and grow a baby for them. Like,
yeah,
like, that's wild. But, like, those people were super rich. Like, not everybody can just, like, pick somebody off the street, say, I'm going to give you $20,000.
Whoa!
It was a large amount of money.
I know someone who
it was enough to pay
for way less than that. Wow.
It was enough to pay for, like, for her to pay for art school. Like,
wow,
you know, like, so, yeah, I just really liked the pictures of motherhood that we got of, like, these women who didn't have everything, who had very little, but still loved their children and tried to give their children the best life that they could. And I feel like sometimes we look down on people who are maybe don't have a lot of money, mm-hmm. or at least I know I used to, like look down on people who don't have a lot of money and like, why would you have a child? And it's like, okay, well, giving them a large house and everyone has their own car and their refrigerator is constantly stocked with every single snack and soda that they need. Like, if you can do that, like, fine. Like, I guess that's not really like a problem, but that's also like, that's not what makes you a good parent.
Right.
Like, giving your kid everything that they ask for is not what makes you a good parent. Because at the end of the day, none of the Richardsons would have gone to their parents to tell them anything that was going on in their lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, love this book. Fantastic. 5 stars.
Woo!
Yeah.
Awesome. Wanted to do a couple quick fan shout-outs here. We had a fan write in.
Fan!
So a few weeks ago, you'll remember, we asked the question, are boners hard to conceal in pleated pants? We got confirmation from a fan who will henceforth be known as Boner Man, who had an unfortunate on-stage pleated pants erection during a production of Honk, I think was it. I don't remember all the details.
I thought he said, no, never mind.
But Boner Man, it is difficult. It's difficult to do. I was right. He confirmed it for me. We've had a few other fans write in with book and game recommendations. Keep those coming.
Yeah.
You are so beloved to us.
Maybe we'll get, like, the ones that you just sent me, I've actually read them already. So one of them I read a long time ago, so I probably won't be able to review that one unless I go and, like, find a really good summary to read and refresh myself. But the other one I read just last year, and so I can definitely, and by one of my favorite authors, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, until next time.
Read hard.
Play hard. And F not swearing.
Yeah, fuck not swearing.